Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, 18 patients over the age of 75 were left waiting to be admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital for over 24 hours last year. Donegal has one of the highest amounts of ghost estates in Ireland. Latest figures have revealed that HSE nursing homes in County Donegal are being paid 78% more to provide care than private and voluntary homes. And a teenager has become the third person to appear in court accused of the murder of father of five, Carole Kelly, in Derry. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up at about 5:15 with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, 18 patients over the age of 75 were left waiting to be admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital for over 24 hours in 2017, according to new figures from the HSE. This is despite the HSE having a 24-hour target for those over the age of 75. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says while it's unacceptable to leave anyone waiting for a bed for that length of time, it's particularly concerning when it's an elderly patient who may need the most urgent care.
To be sitting up in a chair waiting for over 24 hours, and some of this could be running into well over that, to wait to see a doctor or a nurse in the emergency department is absolutely scandalous. It's in breach of the HSE's own guidelines which are very low in the first place, that nobody should be waiting more than 24 hours. And we need urgent action from the government, and we need urgent action from the Minister for Health, and we need our own Minister in Donegal to stand up and take action and demand that the necessary investment is invested into Letterkenny University Hospital to make sure that nobody will be waiting this length of time in our hospital in 2018.
Now, while it's no fault of the staff at Letterkenny University Hospital, it is, however, concerning that a lot of patients in various ages are left waiting for lengthy periods, waiting for a bed, waiting to be admitted to the hospital. But this is particularly concerning in your view that these patients are over the age of 75.
The unfortunate reality is that we have, you know, between 200 and 300 people who die as a result of this every year in our hospital. And that's not statistics that come from Sinn Féin, these come from health professionals. And this is an issue of life and death. The issue of the trolley crisis in our hospitals, in Letterkenny University Hospital, isn't just about the discomfort that it causes to patients, isn't just about the chaos that we have in the hospitals that we ask our nurses and doctors to work in that environment every day. This is a matter of life and death.
Officials of the Department of Culture, Heritage and the Gaeltacht have briefed the media concerning the Tory Ferry today, but the island co-op says there is little new in what's on offer. The community on Tory Island, which is seeking a purpose-built ferry, says it will listen to what the department has to say and is prepared to negotiate. The department says a purpose-built ferry for the island is the goal, but it will take some years to realise. In the interim, the department says the Queen of Arran will take over the route as planned from April the 1st, but a second contract is being suggested, which would put another 10 to 12 person fast boat on the route. However, Marjorie O'Carroll of the Tory Co-op says that's not acceptable to the islanders.
We're not accepting the Queen of Arran at all, and we've made that quite clear at numerous meetings over the past 6 months. We had hoped for a resolution at this stage. We believed that we were going to be getting options here. We haven't been given options, we've been given conditions, which also include the new boat, the new purpose-built vessel that will be built in 2 to 3 years. We understand the long-term, perfect. We're very hopeful that that boat will come. The short-term problem, I mean, the 1st of April, we're talking a couple of weeks away, and unfortunately this problem hasn't been resolved after 6 months of discussions and trying to negotiate. Unfortunately, the Queen of Arran is very much still in the picture, unfortunately for us. We are definitely not accepting it, and we obviously do have a big problem on the 1st of April.
In terms of the offer of a second contract to run alongside Queen of Arran in the short to medium term until the new build can be sorted, because whatever happens, there is no way a new build is going to be on the water on the 1st of April. We all know that is the situation. The department effectively saying, look, work with us for a limited time, and then we'll get as much as we can done in the meantime, and in the longer term you get what you want.
Exactly, but still the 1st of April we still have to accept the Queen of Arran according to the department, and we're not willing to do that. Unfortunately, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board again and come back with other options, not conditions.
The government has approved the bill for a referendum on the Eighth Amendment. Cabinet unanimously approved the measure this morning, and the bill will now be introduced into the Dáil and Seanad. Once it has been approved by the Oireachtas, a date can be set for the vote, with the government still hopeful of going to the polls in late May. Health Minister Simon Harris says he wants there to be a respectful debate over the next few months.
I expect that people will ask the question, if I vote yes, what will that mean? But equally, I hope people will ask the question, if I vote no, what does that mean? Because if you vote no, as is your entitlement, and if the Eighth Amendment remains in the Constitution, we will not be able to address issues in relation to women who've had fatal abnormalities in their pregnancy, to women who've been, and girls who've been raped and abused in this country.
Donegal County Council has confirmed a funding application for the Riverine project has been declined. The application from Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council was unsuccessful in securing funding from the special EU programme bodies Peace for Shared Spaces programme. The Riverine project is considered a key community regeneration project for the Strabane and Lifford areas in terms of creating a new community park that would positively transform the physical and social character of both towns and their wider hinterlands. Local councillor Gary Doherty says this is a devastating blow for the project, but says both councils are now more determined than ever to bring the project to fruition.
This decision by SEUPB that we learned of this week not to advance the Riverine project to the next stage of this part of the application process, it's an absolutely devastating blow for the towns of Lufford and Strabane. It's such a gut-wrenching decision because the project came so close to the qualifying points to get to the next stage that it really is a gut-wrenching blow, but we have to take the positives out of it, that SEUPB did see the merits of the project, and the next funding call is now open next week. So we are and still remain hopeful that this project can get over the line.
And this isn't the first time this project has encountered setbacks, so as you said, you are hopeful that this again is just another setback.
There have been a couple of very significant setbacks. A couple of years ago, we were told that the project had merit, but we just didn't get over the funding line. And then since then, officials on both Donegal County Council and Derry City Strabane Council, as well as elected members and indeed the wider community, have all been involved in trying to progress this project to the next step. And even late last year, the wider community were involved in an evaluation process with SEUPB to tell them of the huge benefits that this project would bring to both Lifford and Strabane. I mean, it could totally transform the two towns, not just for the community that live there, but economically, it could be a huge tourism attraction for both towns, and it would be just the sort of boost that both towns need. So that's why, look, we're devastated and really disappointed by the news that we got this week, but we're ever more determined that this project will get over the line.
A barrister for the family of Kathleen Thompson said today that ballistic reports could not exclude the possibility that the shot that killed her was fired from a gun pressed through a gap in a fence at almost point-blank range. Karen Quinlivan QC was questioning Soldier D on the fourth day of a fresh inquest into the death of the 47-year-old mother of six who was shot on November the 6th, 1971. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Ms. Quinlivan put it to Soldier D that the reports suggested it was possible the shot that killed Kathleen Thompson could have been fired by him putting his gun at one of the gaps in the fence. The soldier replied, "That is outrageous." Ms. Quinlivan suggested if he did that, he cold-bloodedly murdered her. This was rejected by the witness. The barrister put it to Soldier D that changes he made between his 1971 statement and later ones he made were designed to put him in a better position and provide greater justification for the shots he fired in 1971. Again, he rejected this suggestion and maintained that he believed he had come under fire. The barrister put it to Soldier D, there was never a shot fired from the garden of 129 Rathlin Drive, and he was lying when he suggested there was. The witness replied, "No, I am not lying." The inquest continues.
DUP leader Arlene Foster says there's little chance of a government being formed in Northern Ireland in the next few months. There hasn't been an effective administration for over a year since the previous executive collapsed. Talks between the Democratic Unionist Party and Sinn Féin have failed to find an agreement since Stormont elections in March. The government's 2017 annual progress report on actions to address unfinished housing developments has revealed that Donegal has one of the largest number of unfinished housing developments in the country. The Minister for Housing and Urban Development, Damien English, has welcomed the reduction of 91% in the number of unfinished developments nationwide since 2010. He says the ghost estates of the past are largely gone, but should not be forgotten as regards the lessons to be learned. Catherine Gaffney reports.
The number of unfinished housing developments in Donegal is down 25% since 2016. However, the number of ghost estates in the county is the third highest in Ireland, with 21 unfinished developments. 13 of those are now occupied. Nationally, vacancy levels have been reduced significantly. Within developments identified as unfinished, 61 vacant units remain in Donegal. Meanwhile, the number of remaining empty developments per local authority is 8 in Donegal, again one of the highest figures in the country. There is one ghost estate of which NAMA has security over remaining in the county, down from 2 in previous years.
Latest figures have revealed that HSE nursing homes in County Donegal are being paid 78% more to provide care than private and voluntary homes. The figures show that the average cost of care in public nursing homes is €1,465 per person per week, compared to €822 in private and voluntary homes. Private and voluntary nursing homes are required to negotiate fees payable to them under the Fair Deal scheme with the National Treatment Purchase Fund. However, the fees payable to HSE nursing homes are not subject to negotiation or oversight. Tag Daily Nursing Homes Ireland CEO says a discrepancy in care home costs in Donegal is scandalous.
We've always known that there was a discrepancy and a discrimination of the private and voluntary sector, but the figures released by the HSE just last week are staggering. As you say, a 78% differential, with the 11 HSE homes charging €1,456 a week, while our members, the 12 private and voluntary nursing homes, are being forced to accept fees on average of €822 per week. So it's a staggering difference and discrimination of the private and voluntary sector.
And is there anything that the government could do to put something in place to close this gap?
Well, that's what has to happen, is to close the gap, because in effect, the HSE, we would argue, the fees in the HSE, they're rewarding inefficiency. And on the other side, they're failing to recognise the true cost. So there is a recognition of the cost by the fact that they pay themselves almost €1,500 a week. There's a pricing review ongoing by government. We would urge the minister to publish that pricing review and to deal with that discrepancy. In the meantime, the public committee are also looking at this, as is the controller and auditor general. So it is a scandalous discrepancy and one that cannot be tolerated any longer.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale, now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Martin O'Neill has named a provisional 30-man squad for the Republic of Ireland's upcoming international friendly against Turkey. Seamus Coleman has been recalled almost a year after breaking his leg in the World Cup qualifier against Wales. Declan Rice, he has earned a first call-up after a string of impressive performances for West Ham. There's also first senior call-ups for goalkeeper Kieran O'Hara, Dara Lenehan, Derek Williams and Enda Stevens. Greg Cunningham, Alan Judge and Shawnee Maguire are named following long-term injuries. Shane Duffy, Kieran Clark and James McLean, they are all also included. Meanwhile, O'Neill has hit out at what he's called the unexpected nature of his Northern Ireland counterpart's comments earlier this week. Michael O'Neill claimed the FAI had made a habit of poaching Catholic players from Northern Ireland. Players born in the North can play for the Republic as a result of the Good Friday Agreement. But Martin O'Neill says he has never poached a senior player from Northern Ireland, and says Michael O'Neill should leave religion out of any such conversations. On the pitch tonight, Arsenal defender Lauren Koscielny says they need to listen to the positive voices in their heads when they take on AC Milan in the Europa League. They head to the San Siro for the first leg of their last 16, tie on the back of a poor run of domestic form that has heaped further pressure on manager Arsene Wenger. Kickoff was within the hour at 6:00. Elsewhere today, two goals in the last 5 minutes saw the Republic of Ireland under-15s defeat Cyprus in Dublin's AUL complex this afternoon. 2-0 it finished. Patrick McGarvey of Fun Harps, he kept goals in that game. And in colleges football today, the Inter-Varsities O'Regan Cup semi-final was played in Limerick today. The LYIT defeated IT Blanchardstown 8-2 was the final score. There was goals, a hat-trick from Zoe Green, two from Zoe McGlynn, two from Laura Cragan, and one from Aisling Grieve. The LYIT, they meet the Garda College in tomorrow's plate final. 12 o'clock's the kick-off time in that one. Moving on to rugby and Gary Ringrose and the Fit Again Tag Furlong. They come into the Irish side for Saturday's Crunch Six Nations meeting with Scotland. They replace the injured Chris Farrell and Andrew Porter, who drops to the bench. They're the only two alterations to the starting 15 from the win over Wales. Ian Henderson, Jordan Larmore and Jordy Murphy joined Porter among the replacements. Joe Smith is pleased with the variety his side have shown throughout the tournament.
We've probably made the third most offloads. It's an area where people have loved to beat us with a stick, and it's probably overlooked by people that there is some continuity through our play. So, you know, those sorts of things should allow us the variety to try to keep a sort of a balance in what we're doing to attack them. And then obviously defensively, we're going to have to link up really well.
Owen Farrell, he'll captain England for Saturday's clash with France, with Dylan Hartley ruled out through injury. Jamie George replaces Hartley at hooker for the match in Paris. Elliot Daly, he returns to the left wing, while Johnny May switches to the opposite side, with Ben Teo back in at centre and Anthony Watson now full back. Jonathan Joseph and Mike Brown, they drop to the bench. Moving on to Gaelic games, and there's a big North West derby clash on Saturday evening as Donegal and Tyrone go head to head in a Division 1 relegation battle at Healy Park in Omagh. The game will be live here in Highland from 6:45. Well, the Donegal manager, Declan Boner, says they'll have to be focused on Saturday evening.
Yeah, there's two valuable league points at stake. There's no doubt about that there. Yeah, discipline always doesn't matter if it's a Northwest Derby or if it's a McKenna Cup or a league match or a championship match. You've got to keep your 15 players in the field at all times, and discipline is key. And yeah, we've got to be disciplined. And as I say, we've got to be probably better than we were against Kildare overall. Yeah. If we're going to win the match, we need a big performance. And if we get that performance, then yeah, the 2 points will be, if we can get them on Saturday evening, will be a big boost.
Elsewhere in Gaelic games, there's a ladies' higher education finals are taking place this week. In the semi-finals tomorrow, the Moynihan Cup, the LYAT, they're in action against IT Tralee. The final of that tournament is on Saturday in Dublin. Moving on to Tug of War, and Cairn Donagh's Jared Porter has won gold at the 2018 World Indoor Tug of War Championships in China. Then a showman was part of the St. Pat's team from Kirkban and County Louth, which were crowned world champions in the 560kg International Club category. They beat Gazzetti from France in the final. Pat's also won gold in the 640, but Porter wasn't involved. Three pullers from Clonmany are also in China. Sean Doherty is pulling for Pat's at a different weight, and Andrew McMonagall and Dan Harkin, they're pulling for Mountain View. There's club competitions continuing on Friday, while pullers will also be involved with Ireland and internationals on Saturday and Sunday. Moving on to golf, and Rory McIlroy struggling on 2 over par with 2 holes left to play in his opening round of the Valspar Championship in the PGA Tour. Seamus Power, he's 5 over par with 7 left in his first round. Patrick Harrington, Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell, they all go out within the hour, as does Tiger Woods. The early lead in Florida is held by Canadian Corey Connors. He's on 5 under par. In the European Tour, the Indian Open's taking place this week in New Delhi. Darren Clarke, he finished his first round on level par. That leaves him 7 shots off the lead, which is currently held by Argentinian Emiliano Grillo. He shot a 65 today. In basketball, colleges basketball, the LYAT ladies team won the Division 2 colleges semi-final today against Limerick. They're a strong team from the Southern Conference. The LYAT were winners by a score of 100 points to 39. They now go through to the league final for Division 2. It'll be played next Tuesday, the 13th of March in Dublin. Finally for this evening, in horse racing, Ruby Walsh has made a winning return to the saddle. He steered 11-8 favourite Larina to victory in the 2-mile maiden hurdle at Turles this afternoon. The race was Walsh's first in 4 months after he broke his leg in November. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. A teenager has become the third person to appear in court, accused of the murder of father of five, Kirill Kelly. The 17-year-old, who cannot be named because of his age, is charged with the murder of Mr. Kelly in the early hours of March the 4th in Derry. An investigating officer told Derry Magistrates Court today that she believes she could connect the teen to the charge. There was no application for bail and the defendant was remanded in custody to appear in court again via video link later this month. And the Taoiseach has met with the President of the European Council this afternoon to discuss Brexit. Donald Tusk said the Good Friday Agreement needs to be protected and there can't be any backsliding on political deals about the border with Northern Ireland. President Tusk said the will of the Irish people is as important as the decision by British voters.
We must recognise the democratic decision taken by Britain to leave the EU in 2016. Just as we must recognise the democratic decision made on the island of Ireland in 1998, with all its consequences.
And for weather now, apart from a few isolated showers, it will be mainly dry and bright this evening with some sunshine and will be mainly dry tonight with temperatures falling to between -3 and +1 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal County Council has confirmed a funding application for the Riverine project has been declined. Local councillor Gary Doherty says this is a devastating blow for the project, but says both councils are now more determined than ever to bring the project to fruition. Latest figures have revealed that HSE nursing homes in County Donegal are being paid 78% more to provide care than private and voluntary homes. The figures show that the average cost of care in public nursing homes is €1,465 per person per week, compared to €822 in private and voluntary homes. Officials of the Department of Culture, Heritage and the Gaeltacht have briefed the media today concerning the Tory Ferry, but the Island Co-op says there is little new in what's on offer. The community on Tory Island, which is seeking a purpose-built ferry, says it will listen to what the department has to say and is prepared to negotiate. And 18 patients over the age of 75 were left waiting to be admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital for over 24 hours in 2017, according to new figures from the HSE. This is despite the HSE having a 24-hour target for seeing those over the age of 75. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 8th of March. The death has taken place of Norma Holliday, née Colquhoun, formerly of Mallon Town. Service of Thanksgiving in St. Patrick's Parish Church, Drumbeg, County Down, on Monday next, the 12th of March, at 12:30. The sudden death has occurred of Winifred Doherty, née Sharkey, 25, Stony Heights, Castle Derg. Winifred's remains will repose at her late home from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St. Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at his home of John McGill, 81 Ahafad Road, Dunamana. His remains will repose at his home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Ahabrack, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place at Nazareth House Fawn of Patrick Kelly, 20 Millfield Crescent, Buncrana, and formerly of Birmingham, England. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral on Saturday morning, leaving there at 9:15, going to St. Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Nazareth House, Fawn, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The house is strictly private. Family and friends only, please. The death has taken place at Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home, Lisfannan, Buncrana, of Bridget Farron, late of Herbal Array, Mallon Head. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Lag, followed by burial in the adjoining burial ground. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. All inquiries to Liam Collins, funeral directors. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Gerald Martin, son of Angela Trimble Martin, Glasgow, formerly of Farragon's Letchermeck Ward. His remains will arrive at his uncle Jerry Trimble's home at Farragon's Letchermeck Ward at approximately 7:30 this evening to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning in St Bridget's Church, Letchermeck Ward at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 9 a.m. The death has taken place at Avoca Lodge Dairy of Patrick McPhillamy, formerly of Bridge Street, Strabham. His remains are reposing at his brother Jim McPhillamy's home, 208 Lisnefin Park, Strabham. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the sudden death has taken place of Gerald Doherty, 7 Ashbrook, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of Con McDade and Sons, funeral directors, Letterkenny.